Welcome back, everybody. It is 8:40 right now, and it is an enormous honor to have on our show one of the greatest baseball players I ever saw play. A brilliant third baseman. Whether he's the best of all time or the second best is open to debate. But he will be tonight in Wilmington for the All-Star Game at Frawley Stadium. And in the same night, Johnny David, another great player, will have his number retired. Ladies and gentlemen, the great George Brett is on the line. Hi, George. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Hey, thanks so much for coming out with us, George. It's
no problem.
I got to just start with this because, George, I guess the timing is just coincidental, but I consider you one of the greatest hitters I've ever seen in my life. And I consider Tony Gwynn one of the greatest hitters I ever saw in my life. Obviously, you must have admired his play himself. Could you talk a little bit about Tony and what he meant to you?
Well, I didn't know Tony all that well. I was in the American League my whole career, and obviously he spent his whole career in San Diego, and we did not play interleague games then. But, just playing against him in a few All-Star games and never really played against him in spring training, I just admired him from afar, the things that he was able to accomplish. You know, it's funny. I flew in here yesterday from Kansas City and got off the airplane, and my phone started beeping, you know, all the time because I had a lot of messages and stuff. And sure enough, one of them was from the Hall of Fame, from the president, Jeff Idelson, and it was sad news. I am here to inform you that we lost a member of our family. And all of a sudden, I got a call from my wife, and I got a call from other people saying, "You got to quit doing that stuff because I'm a guy that chews tobacco still." And So I'm making it a point right now. It's hit too close to home. I'm going to quit, and hopefully, a lot of these young kids. I know one of my kids dips, and he doesn't do it around me, but I've heard rumors that he does. So I'm going to have a talk with him when I get home tomorrow, and just say, "Hey, look, it's a tough thing to do, but we both got to quit, and I'll quit, you quit." So he's going to make an impact on me. He made an impact on me already, not only as a great baseball player, but for something that he did, and now I'm going to stop doing it because it took his life.
That is great, and I'm glad to hear that, George. George, it's kind of part of the culture of baseball. Is it still as prominent now, chewing tobacco, as it was when you played the game?
I don't think so. They used to have it. They used to have it in the locker room. You'd walk in and, you know, Redman would have crates of Redman in there, and Skoll would have Skoll, and Copenhagen would have Copenhagen, and it was just around. Now, Major League Baseball doesn't even allow those companies to drop it off. If you want it, you got to bring it yourself. I remember my first spring training I went to after they made that rule. I asked one of the clubhouse guys, I said, "Hey, where's the Redman?" And he says, "Oh, we can't have that in the locker room anymore." And I said, "Well, here's $20. Can you go to the store and get me some?" He says, "No, if I do, I'll get fired." And
wow.
I said, "Tommy, come on. You and I have been friends for a long time. I'm not going to tell anybody." And he said, "George, I can't do it. That's just the rules now." So all of a sudden now people got to bring it. And I know even last year in spring training, because I'm a spring training coach, you get down there and you don't have any. And all of a sudden you say, "Hey, do you got any chew on you?"
Wow.
Or something. You're just going around begging people for a chew once in a while. So I won't have that problem next year. I'm gonna go ahead and just quit. So,
well, I'm glad to hear that, George.
It's not as prevalent as it used to be.
George, I'm very, very glad to hear that. George, I gotta ask. I admired you for years and years. What an amazing contact line drive and power hitter you were. And Tony was the same way. And I don't see that many now. It almost seems like there's more money in going for the big home run numbers. Are there guys like you and Tony Gwynn around now, or is it less likely I would see one?
Well, I think it's less likely for a guy. Strikeouts have become part of the game.
Yeah.
I know one year I had 24 home runs and struck out 22 times.
Wow.
And I was just watching something on Tony Gwynn where the most he ever struck out was 40 times in a year, and people do that in a month now.
Yeah.
The one thing as a person still involved with the game of baseball, very rarely do you see guys that strike out less than they walk. And that used to happen a long time ago. Strikeouts have just become part of the game. And I think the reason people strike out is because they try to do too much and they try to hit too many home runs and they're not really concerned with their average. And as a result, you know, strikeouts are up and the pitching can't be that much better. So I think it's the mentality of the hitters right now they want to hit home runs, and as a result, they're going to strike out more because they're swinging harder. Yeah. Tony and I were a little bit different. I would throw Wade Boggs in that category, where we didn't strike out. We hit the ball to all fields. We hit line drives and occasional deep fly ball. I don't know how many home runs Tony had. I had like 320, I had 2,700 other things that weren't home runs. And nowadays, you just don't see that very often.
Absolutely. George, I want to ask you this because we got a Hall of Famer managing our Phillies right now, Ryne Sandberg. And he went, I mean, another amazing player in his own right.
Yeah.
And he went back to the minors and managed in the minors for 6 years to get the opportunity to come back. I know you were very involved in the Royals organization, but never in the manager's capacity. Why didn't you try it yourself?
Well, I didn't get married till I was 39 years old.
Okay.
And retired when I was 40. I had my first son when I was 40 years old, or 39 and a half. I have a March and I turned 40, my last season playing in May. That's when I turned 40. I retired after that year and the next year had another son and the next year had another son. I had three sons under three. I had some catching up to do because I was single so long. And as a result of that, I just didn't want to be gone. I was still very active with the Royals and would go to spring training, and which I've done every year but one since I retired in 1993. And that was my baseball fix of the year. After about 4 weeks of that, I'm going, man, I can't wait to get home. This has just been a long, drawn-out period. One time, the opportunity came for me to manage. It wasn't in Kansas City. It was another place, and I talked to my wife, and my wife said, the kids are old enough now. If you want to do it, I think it would be good for you to do. However, it didn't work out, and I have never thought about it since, to be honest with you.
But you don't miss the game on an everyday basis?
You know what? I did it first.
Yeah.
I did it first, and the best thing I did is I retired. I didn't get released. I retired, so it was my decision to walk away. The guys that get released that think they can still play, yeah, they miss it. But when you make that decision and you walk away on your own, the first year was tough. The second year was a little bit easier. The third year was easier. And now I don't miss it at all. I was a hitting coach last year for 2 months. I traveled around the country, was on flights till 2 a.m, checked into hotels at 3 and spending 7 days in Cleveland, Ohio, and Tampa, and all these places. I'm going, what am I doing? This isn't what I signed up for. And after 2 months of being an interim hitting coach, when the Royals fired some of their hitting coaches, and they asked me if I would take on the job, the first thing I said, I'll do it on an interim basis. Let's do it for a month. Well, I lasted 2, and then the travel finally got to me, and I decided to walk away.
Wow. I guess it's out of your system. Hey, George.
It's out of my system, yes.
George, I followed you very closely. I was a Yankee fan, and I watched what you did to them in key spots. And here's the thing that's amazing to me, that you probably can't go anywhere. You had this long, amazing Hall of Fame career, and somebody's always got to ask you about the pine tar thing, right?
Sure.
Is it annoying? Is it?
No, not at all.
You know what?
Yeah. It's a positive thing. I mean, it shows one thing, that my desire to win,
yep,
and my competitiveness. That's what it shows.
Right.
But it was also a good thing. I hit a home run to win the ball game in the bottom of the ninth or the top of the ninth inning. And the umpire said I was using an illegal bat, which I had no idea there was a rule about pine tar at the time. It was nothing to make me a better hitter, having pine tar on your bat. How's that going to make you a better hitter?
Right.
I was one of the few players then that didn't wear batting gloves, and my hands obviously sweat, and your arms do, and it runs down your arms, and it was just a way for me to keep a good grip on the bat. I really feel for a good friend of mine, Bill Buckner. He's remembered for one thing.
That's true.
I don't even have to tell you what that is. And you say,
oh yeah,
I remember him. Well, I'm remembered for something on a positive note. I had a home run to win a ball game. So, no, it's a compliment to me. And then that's the way I look at it. It's something that I did good. It's not something that I did to, help the team lose a game. I helped the team win a game.
All right, but, George, if no one had stopped you, would you have killed
the guy 6'5"?
Tim McClellan was the umpire.
Timmy McClellan, 6'5".
I think you'd have killed him.
He always says to me, What were you planning on doing? I'm 6'5". I weigh 260 pounds. I got shin guards on. I got a chest protector on. And I got a bat in one hand and a mask in the other. Now, what were you going to do to me? I said I was going to do exactly what I did, come out and yell at you.
Hey, George, I'll tell you what, you look pretty bad. Last thing, George, and I'm sorry, whenever Mike Schmidt's on, I always introduce him as the greatest third baseman of all time.
Yeah, well, you know what, in your thing you're saying, the greatest, or maybe one of the top two, and I'm going, this is the first time anybody's ever said that from Philadelphia.
No, but I know you're 1A.
He's a Mike's a great friend of mine. I didn't know Mike all that well. Played against him, obviously, in the 80 World Series where he was victorious and we lost. I played against him in spring training every year when we were playing because we were both in Florida. And I always had a tremendous amount of respect for him. My brother Ken played for the Phillies, and when Mike Schmidt came up, and my brother said he's going to be a really good player, and my brother was right. But my brother thought the world of Mike Schmidt. I didn't really know Mike all that well. But when I got inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1999, and I can't tell you the year he was inducted, he had never gone back to it, to the ceremony. You know, some players go every year. I've gone every year but one. A friend of mine passed away in Kansas City, and the funeral was on Sunday, and I said, you know what, I can go to the Hall of Fame every year, but I can't go to Bob Buckner's funeral every year. So I'm going to go. I called up Jeff Idelson at the Hall of Fame, and I just said, I can't make it this year. A friend of mine passed away, a very dear friend, and I'm going to go to his funeral. Oh, George, I understand. But Mike and I made a pact that year because he came to the Hall of Fame. He said to see me and Robin and Nolan Ryan get inducted. Me and Robin Yount and Nolan Ryan. And he said, are you going to come back next year? And I said, yeah, I'm coming back. And he said, well, I said, don't you come back every year? He says, no, I just came back for you guys this year. And I said, well, let's make a pact. Let's come back every year. Well, not only do we come back every year, but we're on the phone constantly. Our wives have become good friends. When we have a function to go to, say at 6 o'clock, he'll say, I'll meet you in the bar at 5:30. Well, he calls me at 5:25. Come on, I'm already down here. Let's go. But Mike and I have become great friends. I talked to him on the phone on occasion. In fact, I almost called him the other day when Jimmy Rollins broke his record and he walked out of the field in his jersey. I almost called him and said, man, you look pretty good in that uniform. And then last year when the Royals had their opening day in Philadelphia, you know, I came out here and me and Mike threw out the first pitch. We spent 3 days together and just had a blast.
Wow.
So I really admire the guy. I can understand why a lot of people think he's the greatest third baseman that ever lived. I probably feel the same way deep down inside, but it's always an honor to be in the same conversation and the same debate with him because the things that he did, the gold gloves, the home runs, and dealing with the fans in Philadelphia. Here, I dealt with the fans in Kansas City. That was pretty easy.
Yeah.
You know, dealing with the fans in Philadelphia is a little bit tougher if we're dealing with those people. But no, I have a lot of respect for the man. I really do.
I don't know what you meant in that last state because we're very sweet, actually, George. But, George, I can't tell you what an honor it is to talk to you. Go see George tonight and Johnny David, another tremendous ball player.
And Mike Sweeney, another Royal. We're here at the All-Star Game here in Wilmington.
Right.
Because the Royals are affiliated with the Wilmington Blue Rocks, and they invited us to come out. And yesterday, Mike and I had a chance to visit with both teams from the Carolina League and the California League, and tonight Johnny's getting his number retired because he played there when he was a minor leaguer for the Royals. Mike Sweeney's number's already retired there, and I'm just along for the ride, and we're going to have fun tonight, watch an All-Star game, and head back to Kansas City tomorrow.
Go to BlueRocks.com/All-Star to get tickets or call 302-888-BLUE. George, it's an honor. Thank you so much for doing this.
Okay, appreciate it.
Thanks.